ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. Stepping through the door, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way, and the stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can.
Welcome to the Freeman Perspective. Well, we're still getting things straight and clear here at the studio, and some of us think it might be a conspiracy. But we're not going to go that far. Tonight I have the great pleasure of joining with you Scott Stevens, who is the host of WeatherWars.info. And Scott was a meteorologist that, well, seemed to be getting the weather more correct than your average meteorologist. And it turns out that you might be surprised why. Well, Scott, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Glad to be here, Freeman.
It's I'm ready for a fantastic talk with you. I'm so excited about this this talk because this is so critical. People don't realize what powers our secret or even frontal government actually have at this time. And, you know, chemtrails are one thing, but weather modification and manipulation is a whole nother.
This is true, you know, and that's just what's visible to us, and we still have yet to completely understand what other things may be going on behind the scenes that we have yet to figure out. So, this is just what's readily available and visible to the average person.
Yeah, this is nothing new, is it? You know, we're looking at 1957, 58 when the Soviets were discussing their scalar EM technologies. Mm-hmm. Do you mind giving us a little talk on EM scalar technologies? Give us a little idea of what we're talking about?
You betcha. We can even go back even farther than the mid-50s.
All right.
in reference to the Soviets. We can go back to Nikola Tesla. Not too deep into the last century, the 20th century. And in fact, there's two critical papers that were published by E.T. Whittaker about what is termed superpotential theory. And the superpotential theory allows for the extraction of energy from the vacuum. So you can send two potentials, and then these two potential waves meet at a distance and then achieve mechanical results at that distance. And that is just something phenomenal, and that is yet to be acknowledged by most mainstream physicists, even though we've had numerous papers published correcting the flawed conservation of energy and thermodynamics. Many of these theories have flaws. And Tesla was able to generate earthquakes with one single transmitter back in the 1920s down towards Colorado Springs. And he even said before 1930, man will have within his grasp the ability to manipulate the local weather. So this is not recent technology or recent knowledge. It has been around and been able to be played with by the powers that be for at least three generations.
Wow. So they're way ahead of our thinking, of our ideas of what's going on planet Earth then, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And that knowledge, when kept in secret, is what, as far as they're concerned, is their power over us. And that's not something that they're going to be reticent to give up anytime soon. Wow. So we have to just make ourselves aware of what's going on and their potential uses for this technology. Remember that quote from Defense Secretary Cohen back in 1997? Yeah, there was an anti-terrorist. Oh. Do you remember that?
The owning the weather?
There was an anti-terrorism conference held in Athens, Georgia, in April 97. And Defense Secretary Cohen came out, and this is a pretty good quote from off the top of my head, that others are engaging even in a type of eco-terrorism whereby they can set off earthquakes, volcanoes, and alter the climate through the use of electromagnetic waves. And this is why we must concentrate our anti-terrorism efforts.
You know, in the first Gulf War, there was an article in the USA Today that stated
that we can alter the climate and we can trigger earthquakes and volcanoes. It just makes you wonder how many of those big things are fully natural.
Oh, absolutely. From your experience, aren't you finding that it's more unnatural than natural?
Well, what we've learned is that the energy can be deposited. These scalar waves, these potentials, can be deposited into fault lines, and also removed from fault lines. And there's a guy in Larry Park. His name is Larry Park. He is just outside of Portland. That has a Terra Research dot, I believe it's org, but Terra Research and Larry Park is enough of a Google to let you know what the guy's up to. And he has these scalar wave sensors all around the western U.S. and the Pacific Rim. And there have been times where we've had very close to threshold energy available to trigger quakes in California, and it's been swept away. So California has had numerous, quote-unquote, saves from the big one over the last 3 years. Now, these energies can be natural, and they can be artificial. And this is what's tough to discern right now, is which is which.
Absolutely. I mean, like I was, the USA Today announced that Milosevic accused us of using HAARP technologies to cause his earthquakes and floods in the first Gulf War. That was on the front page of USA Today.
Oh, yeah.
Back in, what, 99 or earlier?
Or even the earlier 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there appears to have been a concerted effort, and this may have been on the Russians' part, to keep us from succeeding in that mission in Kosovo, because there was about 39 days where resupplies to some of our assets in that Bosnia area were kept at bay because of just constant blizzards. And the locals said time and time again that we've never seen weather like this before, just never.
Well, can I share a weather story with you, Scott?
Please, it's your show.
This is one of the most astounding stories, and it happened 2 years in a row, and maybe you might get a chance to experience it yourself in the future. Well, I go out to rainbow gatherings. Are you aware of the rainbow?
I'm aware of the term, but enlighten me.
Okay, well, it's where 30 to 50,000 people, some call them hippies. They're not all hippies, though. They're all breeds. You'll find Krishnas and Catholics and Christians and Jews, and everybody goes to the rainbow. That's why it's called the rainbow.
Right.
And we go out into a national forest, and we build a community out, 2 or 3 miles away from anything and everyone. And there'll be 100 kitchens for everyone to eat. Everything's free. There's no money allowed, no alcohol allowed. But due to this fact, we're considered a terrorist organization. All right? We don't have government. Nobody's officially in charge of the rainbow, and nobody plans, and it just happens, and every year we go to somewhere else. Well, we were in Utah. In every rainbow gathering, the Nationals, where the 30,000 gather, is during the end of June and the beginning of July.
Okay.
And at the end of June, for 2 weeks towards the 1st of July, we build everything.
Okay.
And we get everything ready for all the masses to show up. Well, I always show up for that time because I really enjoy watching the woods transform into this mystical paradise.
Nice.
And these last 2 years, we were in Utah the last year, and we got hit. I mean, it was 85 degrees anywhere around the mountain and coming up to the mountain. But where we were, on top of the mountain, we got hit with a massive hailstorm and then a blizzard. And the clouds were actually circling the mountaintop, like we had a gap where we were on top of the mountain. Now, no one was allowed to come or go off the mountain. Well, you couldn't. I saw a guy try for 3 hours. Now, this is the middle of July in Utah, trying to get off this ice-laden mountaintop. And next thing we know, the next day, it's 85 degrees, no sun or no snow, no nothing. And we ended up having to stay inside of our vehicles for almost a week because you couldn't travel. You know, nobody had packed for this kind of weather.
Wow.
And so finally, we got this bright, lovely, sunshiny day. And we went walking out into the woods, and we're like, all right, we finally get to experience the rainbow. Now, nothing had gotten built because every day there was a blizzard and a hailstorm. And we're talking, you know, a foot of snow and inches of hail that were about golf ball size.
Wow.
And so we walked out on this bright, sunshiny day, all in our shorts and sandals, and we got about 2 miles in the woods, and there it came again. Massive hail. We all had to ditch for the trees, and then big whiteout. And we were just trapped there. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what direction to go. It was our first time, you know, getting into the woods, and we couldn't tell which way to go, which way to get out. And we were all in sandals. And I mean, we were, you know, many of my crew were crying. By the time I got back to the vehicle, which we did find our way back, I couldn't feel my toes. Wow. We were very, very in a very bad state. And then, of course, you couldn't leave. You couldn't get off the mountain, and no one could get on. So
right.
There was no food or any supplies or anything. We were melting the snow off the top of cars to eat.
Wow. Well, there are reasons why that happens. And we're going to have to go a little metaphysical to talk about this. Because when you can influence and affect someone's experience so profoundly, especially when a group of people get together and in essentially the creative flow of expression, you know, there to join and to build off of each other and have a good experience, essentially raising your vibration and raising the vibration of the planet, which is such critical work at this point in these cosmic cycles, which are drawing to a close. And they cannot have that kind of light in existence with those numbers, which 30,000 is a fairly potent group of people. And if you were to sit down and meditate and focus on something positive, on creating a new experience, on creating a new civilization, that goes directly contrary to the work of the dark, which has largely got control of our government and the UN and those kind of agencies. And so they'll do what they can to keep light from coming together and creating.
That does definitely seem to be the case. And do you think that it's the timing? Because at this point, it seems there's a massive increase in the Dark Brothers agenda. And it also, just to tie this into the solar system, at the same time, we're having this massive peak in solar flare storms, to where the scientists now are starting to call them solar tsunamis.
Uh-huh. I haven't read that story yet, but I'll be curious to. Well, we know that the forecast from, I believe it's either U.S. Space Command or it's National Centers for Atmospheric Research, I don't recall which right now, is for an incredible peak in the solar activity as we move towards the end of this cycle, which is forecast to peak at the end of 2012, which is also coincident with the end of the Mayan calendar. And we have numerous astrophysicists now talking about a flip in the solar magnetics. And you've got to wonder just how all of these things are going to align and how they're going to impact Earth and our space-based communications capabilities, our satellites. It's there is a great, great vulnerability to these solar storms. That's a whole other show in and of itself. But we're going to have to be very careful with the sun and disruption of communication, and with the disruption of communication, the disruption of commerce and the ability to get foods here and there. And we've got a lot to prepare for over the coming months and years.
But do you feel that this coming of the new paradigm, or entering this, what do you think? Is it photons from the galactic core that are altering things? And do you believe that this is more the case for global warming as opposed to, say, Al Gore's theory?
I think Al Gore's theory is valid to a point, in the fact that we are seeing an increase in CO2. We're seeing an increase of methane. But I think the increase in CO2 is just the function of humans using the atmosphere as a toilet. And we're upsetting that balance, but I think by and large the temperature results that we're seeing, that climb in temperature, is coming from the sun. Because we are seeing Mercury and Venus and Mars and Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune, all of the planets are manifesting changes which are unique to where they are in the solar system and unique to their particular atmospheric chemistry, that something is rolling through the solar system, either driven by the center of the galaxy or by our sun. And our tailpipes are not what's causing global warming. It's likely when we do a post-mortem on this event that it will have been driven by the sun and changes within our interplanetary environment. And there's just a lot of talk that we're towards the end or the closing of this age. And if the planet is truly to make a leap in consciousness, a leap in vibration, if the Schumann resonance jumps from about 7.8 hertz presently to close to 13, which would be the next number in the Fibonacci scale, then as a vibration increase, that would manifest as heat. And this is something, either you prepare for this change or you're left behind.
Well, what would you think was some good preparation?
Going to the source, opening that heart center, that love center that we have within each one of us. And indeed, that is the only thing that you can do to survive the changes that are coming, whether these changes are driven by man's politics or exopolitics, meaning influences from civilization off of this world. But honestly, the only thing you can do is open your heart center. Center yourself in that source of energy, that source of creative energy, our creator, and prepare to grow up. Prepare to become that rainbow man, and prepare yourself for that new paradigm, which will surely appear. Now, so many people keep waiting for a rescue, that some savior will come, and that is not going to happen. It simply will not happen if you're not willing to make those changes, to take the personal responsibility, to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps and create this new experience that we're all so, so hungry for. You have to do it. You have to be what you want to become to then surround yourself with those kind of persons. You must become. And one of the prayers that is most effective to go out to the universe is, help me to become. Help me to become. Or, I am a human being. Help me to become. And then when you run across these wonderful people which are here on this planet now, opportunities will present themselves to you. And you
Absolutely.
Will come across the information and those people which will spark that growth in you. And this is something we're all going to have to go through individually, because rescuing is not an option. We have to do it ourselves.
And it's wonderful.
This civilization will simply fail and will end up in servitude for many, many thousands of years.
Yeah, well, do you feel that perhaps this is what all of these technologies, and perhaps not all, but these scalar technologies and HARP and chemtrails, do you think that these are them trying to modulate our very frequencies?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and modulate the frequency of the Earth herself. She is just as an important aspect of this as you and I are. since we are symbiotic in relationship with the planet, she is the core, or she is the core, because of the lack of gender. But this is very important, and one of the reasons why there are certain energy or acupuncture points. Vestica of Pisces would be one of the terms for it, where these creative energies pour out of the planet, and these are locations where the chemtrails are even more aggressive in keeping out the light which will fuel this transfiguration, this transformation. And so the Scale of Weapon can be used to manipulate the weather, to cause changes in currents in the ocean, can be used to stimulate the body's physical response to disease. If a person has cancer, the body resonates at a certain level, and that level can be mimicked by these EM technologies. So you have to wonder, with this widespread sinus and upper respiratory infections, these colds, which used to last 2, 3, 4 days, now last 2 and 3 weeks. And so they can use these technologies. I'm not saying they are. It's been demonstrated that they're capable of using it to stimulate widespread sickness across the population. And the thing which will power it the greatest is fear. You look back at the flu pandemics, especially back in 1918 and 1919, and once the fear subsided, the pandemic ended, and fairly quickly. And that may be one of the things that they've tried to do with both SARS back in 2002 and then the avian flu virus multiple times over the last several years, is create that fear whereby the present virus can then grab hold of bodies. And these physical bodies, when washed in the emotion of fear, are then weakened and more susceptible to these technologies and susceptible to these existent viruses. So fear is the foundation of what they're trying to create for us. And you cannot let that into your heart, regardless of what the TV is spouting at you.
I'll tell you, there's a new Halls commercial that just came out for Halls cough drops. And this just astounds me to no end. The commercial shows, say, a guy in a sushi restaurant. There's a couple of different ones. And he starts coughing. And, of course, I'm really expecting the end of the world to come with a cough. And I've been waiting for this sort of scenario. Well, here comes Hall's commercial, and they show this guy coughing in a sushi restaurant, and everybody starts to grab knives and weapons. And they were coming to kill the cougher until somebody jumps in and saves him with Hall's cough drop. I mean, how bizarre is that?
Well, it is. It's reacting to the fear, and to the point to where they will kill a fellow human being because he's coughing. And when you talk about the new paradigm, your expectations create the thought environment in which that future will manifest itself to you, and in particular your specific experience within this paradigm. And so your thoughts are so incredibly important in protecting yourself. Did you know that a person's thoughts are, on average, 96.4% are negative in nature? Which means we live with 3.5% of our lives in positive thought and positive emotion. And I'm sure they'd like to get that down to 99%. But what that also demonstrates is that a little bit of progress will go a long way if you can learn to change how you think and how your decision process is constructed in your mind. Choose the better outcome. And your health will change, your abundance, your level of abundance, whatever you desire, desires you. And if you know, yesterday I took the dogs for a walk, pulled up beside a car, and inside this Honda Accord there was a little thing dangling from the rearview mirror, and it said, "I hate everything." And I look at it and go, well, this is the problem.
Yes.
This is the problem, and it's right there in front of our faces. We don't realize that the most powerful force in the universe is that of thought.
Right.
Thought holds these particles which hold this planet in place. It's focused thought. And we are responsible for our lives, for our realities, and for the civilization as individuals.
Yes, and we have the free will to do so. And people forget that. We get subservient to these systems, and people forget their free will, and they say, well, you know, this is the way it's been done, or this is, you know, I personally don't believe that civilization is the outcome of human endeavor. I think that it's been supplanted since the get-go, but that's because I'm an ancient astronaut theorist.
Well, and this is a function of heritage, where what our grandparents did and the ancestors before that, what has been good enough for them, we think is good enough for us. You know, whether it's Catholic or whatever belief system you were raised in, that's essentially what you're taught to believe, and that structures your life. And it's amazing to me the number of people which declare themselves either agnostic or atheist because they don't like how religion has presented the concept of God to them.
Exactly.
And they'd rather separate themselves from the God of these religions rather than jump in and be a part of that belief system. So, and it will likely be those people which are the foundation of the Rainbow Man.
I would think so, and I've seen it happen. I've seen people come out to, you mentioned the Rainbow Man, but at the Rainbow Gathering, I have actually literally watched anxiety leave people's bodies. And that's a pretty astounding thing to see. I mean, their whole body shakes, and they don't know what's going on with them. And I'm like, well, you're at peace for the first time in your life, so just settle in.
Can you imagine as that happens to 30,000 people, and then 300,000 people, and 3 million, and 3 billion? And as we see this growth, literally just instantaneously. Have you heard of something called the 100th monkey syndrome?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, once knowledge enters a certain quotient of a race consciousness, that knowledge is then available to the full population. You know, whether it's 5% or 10% that become aware of knowledge, then once we reach a quorum of humanity, a quorum of this group, then that knowledge is inherent with everyone. And this is why they do, the powers that be go to such great effects and efforts to keep knowledge out of humanity's hands. Because with knowledge comes power, and with power and intelligence, their game is up, and they lose humanity, and they lose their plan. And they will go to great lengths because they have tens of thousands of years invested in the outcome of this particular civilization.
Yes. Now, just to jump to them for a second, they're all going underground. Do you think that they're, you know, I remember the story of the NASA scientist running for the caves.
In Ohio.
Yeah. Do you think that they have some idea? You know, I've talked to a Bilderberger, and he was talking about having his ticket to get to the subterranean bases.
Yeah. You know, and it comes back to a couple of issues, and we're going to fast forward in time about 5 to 6 years when we see these incredible changes within the surface of this planet as she will shudder and shake to wake us up and to cleanse her surface. And then we have the issues, the solar storms coming. And this is why there has been such extensive, rapid building of these bases underground, which likely number greater than 150 right now, and with each of these bases equivalent to 3 cubic miles, you know, and at the cost of $4 to $5 billion per base, plus what other industry is then built up in there. You know, even the powers that be know that they're not going to be able to keep all of these bases. And as we go through the changes, if they can keep 20% of them, then that still gives them 10 to 20 or 30 bases in operation, powered and supplied, and with a workforce available for after the changes of 2012. So they literally, if you're on the surface, you'll be sacrificed. And so this is why the spiritual awakening and growing your abilities, which are your gift, your gift from the Creator, and the movies, The Matrix, are not that far off.
Right.
They're really not that far off. And the abilities that you and I have. We've seen David Blaine, you know, levitate himself, mm-hmm. you know, focus, material objects through solid objects. These are all things that abilities that we can do once you understand the divine laws. We all have these capabilities, and that was the reason that Jesus visited this planet and did what he did, is to show that we all are sons of the Creator and can do these things.
He said, all these miracles and more you will do also.
Yeah, and there has to be an intentional drive within each of you to rise above this experience. And
yes.
And only by doing that will making survival of the changes that are coming literally a possibility for you. Because if you don't change, if you stay in this mode of experience, it's very probable that you'll just get to do it again at some other point in the future.
Right.
You know, it's whether you believe in reincarnation or not, reincarnation is for failures who do not reach enlightenment or ascension.
Yes.
So, there's not many choices being presented to us. You improve who you are, your source, your perfection. You become that, or you're left behind.
Right. My life has been miraculous. I've had all kinds of adventures and unique experiences, and constantly this connection with the universe or God, whichever term you want to use, mm-hmm. To the point of getting little messages blowing to me in the wind, or just amazing synchronicities that you would think were a Hollywood plot.
And those are available to all of us.
Yes.
And it's a function of your awareness of the possibility and your alertness to notice them when they come to you. And there's a great difference between awareness and alertness, and you use the two together, and your life will be so much fuller than it was beforehand.
Absolutely. I've used this to travel the country, all over, even Canada, and just on nothing but firm faith. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's kind of releasing your experience just into the flow.
Yes.
It's like the fish realizing that, okay, I'm not getting upstream in a hurry. I can swim upstream, but it's a whole lot more work. And then when you turn around and go with the flow, you cover great distances, and then the stream, the ocean, takes you to where you need to be.
Yes.
Allowance. This law of allowance then becomes the most powerful driving force, and allowance is driven by love, and instead of resisting that expression of flow. So,
people seem to be afraid of love these days.
It usually comes down to a function of them not believing that they're worthy of it, that they haven't done anything that is deserving of it, and the fact that they're still here means that they are worthy of it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I personally wouldn't want to be in high school right now. I grew up in somewhat of a Leave It to Beavers type reality. But today's kids, they really suffer. They really have to put on the ego trip to survive.
You're an 80s child too, aren't you?
What's that?
You're an 80s child.
Yes,
too,
absolutely.
No, me too. Yeah, great music, crazy looking clothes, ugly hair, but had it a whole lot better than the kids do now.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, if kids, how they dress today versus how we dressed, and those kids showed up at school, they'd have been turned right around and go home and put some clothes on.
Yes.
Yeah, things have changed.
Big time. And amazingly, how fast,
So what are you, still mid-70s down there?
Yeah, we've been getting hit with these solar flares all week. It's been just nuts. Everybody's running around in shorts without shoes. How about you there in Colorado?
We did the low 60s today. I had about 4 or 5 inches of snow in the backyard 2 days ago, and I'm down to just where I shovel off the patio and a few clumps. The winds came along, and we've had a warm couple of days, which is I never mind in the middle of winter. But it's the Chinook winds, and the snow is gone. The snowpack is about average for this time of year, but we're in the process of seeing a pattern change to where the troughs in the west will be shifted to a little more southerly latitude, And right now, very little rain has gotten farther south than, say, the mid-California coast. We've seen the heavy rains in British Columbia and the flooding in Washington and Oregon, but it's about time that we get those shifted to southern Oregon and into California. So I wouldn't be surprised if the next 2 to 3 days you see heavy, heavy chemtrail action as these storms are engineered in your direction. But, you know, water is something we just have to have. And the long-term agenda, as you look at Australia and the western U.S., the desert southwest, is drought.
Yes.
And what that does is it weakens the life force that keeps the crops alive, that feed us, that keep the forests healthy. And that's the agenda, is drought, as we stress the ecosystem even further as we approach the next 6 years.
Yeah, it's horrible. I've stood in the Missouri River when there should have been 6 foot of water over my head and no water. You know, when I travel, you know, I go from state to state and I live in that state for a couple of weeks and I move on. I always hear the same thing and it always kind of cracks me up a little because people will say, well, you know, that's just Missouri weather, or, oh, that's just California weather, or, you know, and because they don't travel, I get a pretty unique perspective being in every state, of, you know, in a month,
right.
I'm trying to tell them all, no, it's everywhere, you know.
No, well, and especially as you talk to the older generation, those that are aware and alert again, you know, and are 65, 70 years old, they've seen the changes, and what they've tried to do is disguise the weather control, the weather manipulation, as global warming, and that we simply can't explain the freakishness, the weirdness, the one-offness that we're seeing within the weather right now. And they're saying that it's all, you know, 1 to 2 degree change in temperature is resulting in this, and these odd configurations of storms and these odd strike frequencies, say, of the hurricanes in Florida or the typhoons in the Philippines this particular year, or the 1,000-year drought in Australia.
Hmm.
You know, and it's not. It is simply an intervention and terraforming of this planet's climate. And if the atmospheric sciences community is simply too blind to see it, then these people get a free pass to continue to do it.
Yeah.
And this is something that has to end, is the atmospheric sciences have got to wake up and got to ask questions. And they cannot be held back by fear of losing a paycheck. I mean, there is no single issue that is more important to us than the health of our environment. We have one atmosphere. We have one set of oceans. And if we lose either of those and its ability to sustain life, then we'll have to go underground and we'll live with manufactured air for thousands of years. And I don't think we're ready to do that.
No, I'm not.
But what we haven't had is the political willpower to ask the hard questions. And that has been a failure in leadership, and we've had a failure in leadership for 40 years now. And the two Bushes have been the worst,
yes.
Absolute the worst. And there will be treason trials if the people ever get their voice back. And those, that will be a great day for humanity when we get our voice back, when we find our power, when we have the courage to stand up for what we believe is right, what we know is right.
Yes. Yes, and that is a critical point, and this pentacle that we call the dollar bill, the magic spell of the Illuminati that keeps us all in line so that no one will say anything outside of bounds in fear of losing their jobs. Yeah, I try to tell people a lot of times that you can walk away from all this and you'll be fine. You don't need the magical pentacle, or at least you don't need to go searching for it. It'll come to you when you need it.
Well, the thing is, you know, I lost my job because I chose to speak out.
Right.
You know, and that's too bad, but I can't tell you what a gift it has been not to have that station's call letters attached to my name. So I can speak out about what's right and what's wrong with this country. And what is most amazing, and we just went through a congressional election cycle, is that that these politicians, right and left, red and blue, all they can do is fight amongst each other about who has more family values, who's more friendly for business. You know, they could have used those billions of dollars spent on advertising and talk about the solutions for the problems that we have. If you wanted to win an election, you start explaining how you would fix things, and you start doing it in your ads in July. And then people are interested in what you can bring to the table and what you would contribute to the political system, rather than just bad-mouthing the guy that you're running against.
Yes.
And we've got to quit destroying each other. Otherwise, this house will continue to crumble. And this wonderful, wonderful country will be a failed empire, like we have seen so many times over the last 6,000 years. And it'll fail because of monetary reasons. It'll fail because of expansionist wars. It'll fail because of corruption in government. It'll fail because of corruption in business. It'll fail because of a corruption of individual morality and the individual's failure to stand up for what is right versus what is wrong.
Yes.
And all of these things are stacked against us, and we've got to make some choices here. So.
And the withholding of these technologies, as Dr. Stephen Greer and the Disclosure Project keeps showing, and many others, that we do have the ability to have a sustainable life here on planet Earth, and yet these technologies are never discussed nor released.
Well, and there's a political reason for that. And the best term for this is simply called the intervention. An intervention that has that represents likely simply economic collectives that are off of this world. And they have genetically altered the human body, and then they have called us, or they've called themselves our gods. And they have promulgated the falsehoods which litter and truly are the foundation of so many mainstream religions. And they do not want us to know that there is life off of this planet. They don't want us to know where we came from. They don't want us to know what our potential is. And that's why they will not discuss the UFO issue. Because to do that is an acknowledgement that we have these technologies, we've had these technologies, and we use these technologies. And we have governmental and economic contracts with other civilizations. And as soon as humanity figures that out, and by and large we do, it's just that we can't get that bloody press to wake up and ask the hard questions. But so they'd rather deny that UFOs exist than have to answer the questions about why they're here and what that means for us. And they chose in the 50s to do whatever they can at whatever cost to keep that issue from reaching mainstream, because then the powers that be would lose us.
Right.
And we would figure out that the powers that be has made agreements and established relationships, business, biological relationships with beings which are simply service to self rather than service to others. And those benevolent races have largely retreated from Earth.
Yes.
And they're waiting for us. They're waiting for us to stand up and claim our freedom once again. And then they will show up, and then they will help us. But if we're not brave enough and with enough courage to stand up and take our freedom back, they'll wash their hands of us and let this opportunity pass by, and then our children will be in servitude for many, many thousands of years.
Well, I think it's important to note as well, when we're saying take our liberty back, you're not really suggesting like armed revolt, are you?
Well, what I mean is, you know, there are these yellow ribbons that are attached to the back of cars that say freedom isn't free.
Right.
Well, freedom is free when you have honorable leadership.
Yes.
You know, it's a birthright, and it's just yours. And there's no death, there's no dying, there's no fake wars for this patriotic freedom. I mean, patriotism is the last tool of the despot.
Yes.
You know, Hitler needed patriotism for the Germans to do what they did. For Hitler, or for Mussolini to do what they did. And Bush needed patriotism to whip this country into war.
Well, I wish that would have been
an honorable war. He could have simply explained it, and we we would have responded had it been in honor. But it was a lie, and a lie from the beginning. And so once we replace this poor leadership, this corrupt, this morally bankrupt leadership we have now with honorable men, with statesmen, which have at their actions essentially the highest and best good for all concerned, when we come at government from that basis, from that foundation, then freedom is free. And remember, any civilization who is truly free, they took that freedom from their oppressors, if you will. You know, we took our freedom from the British, right. And we're going to have to take it back from our government and from the Federal Reserve. So, yeah, freedom isn't free. Not yet, at least.
No, no. It's going to be a bumpy road, because it seems at
well,
this
and,
point.
And that's a given. You know, yeah. The chaos and the changes, they want to use it to drop us into an even lower vibratory mode of experience, a truly negative, way of living. And we have to envision and we have to see a different outcome, because if we expect that they will win, they will win.
Right.
But if we can change our expectations and we see, intentionally see a brighter day, a better day, then we will have won and there will be nothing they can do.
Yes.
Because the true flow of the universe is on our side.
Yes.
And all we have to do is see a different day, a different outcome, and that will be enough to short-circuit what they want to do. But they see the destruction of this planet. And we've already got our oceans that are in a world of hurt, our atmosphere is in a world of hurt, and the sun is restless. And we can change it. We must change it.
By simply changing our minds.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. I mean, the whole universe is thought. And when you begin to see how quantum mechanics and how the power of observing, the simple act of observing, sets reality. And so as we observe and see the better, we see that Christ in each one of us, we see the best opportunity, the best outcome, then we change. Through our power of observation, we change reality. And that is our power of creation. And that's creative powers that they don't want you to know that you have.
Right. Well, they probably hate my show.
Well, I'm sure yours isn't the only one, because there is an incredible hunger out there to fix things.
There really is.
People want to know what to do. And we will let them know.
Yes. And the veracity of it, you know, it's like, how many, it's real, folks. That's all I want to say. You know, the synchronistic realms, the metaphysical, mere, miraculous life is real. And all it requires is a letting go and a walking out your door.
Well, the material realm is the realm of hypnosis, the realm of hypnotism, of, you know, there really is no spoon.
Right.
It's just particles, and because you observe it, it's there. Because it's agreed upon, it's there. And it can all be changed. And this is something that many, many people will learn to do in the few years that are immediately ahead of us. But that'll be the empowerment of humanity. And it's going to be an exciting, exciting time to be around to watch it unfold.
Absolutely. A lot like watching the rainbow grow.
Well, that's I'll be curious to see where they hold that next year, and
I hear Texas.
Watch the weather.
I hear it's going to be Texas.
Locations to see. In fact, you probably have the date, and I've got the weather, the satellite images archived. So I'll be curious to see what kind of manipulation there was within the atmosphere to affect the misery that you guys experienced there because of the weather.
Yeah, and so not very many people are aware of the Rainbow Tribe, and so, you know, we're not really getting watched or you know, reported on. Except for the violence, you know, if any violence happens to occur, that makes it to the news, but...
But still, what their goal is they don't want these people transforming. They don't want you, you know, shifting your vibration from the lower energy centers, the lower chakra centers, which are, you know, fear and distrust and anxiety and helplessness, the victimhood. And they don't want you moving into the upper ones of intelligence and awareness and compassion and love and ecstasy and caring. Yeah. They don't want you operating from those higher emotions, which is where you're going to have to go. But with all of the horrors that they're going to parade on TV in front of us every night, they re-victimize us with every murder. They re-victimize us when you see the bombings in Baghdad. And so it drags all of us down by watching these things.
Right.
And you look at TV, all of the violence, the games that these children are playing from 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. I mean, when their bodies are still so perfect and haven't been contaminated by our race consciousness. And, boy, the TV has really been Hispanic 20 years in broadcast TV. You know, it's really a powerful tool for bringing people down.
Oh, it's astounding. It's amazing. I watch these children's cartoons, and, you know, it's all fighting and even occultism, you know, bringing them into this war-type mentality, but also into a darker, like, just for an example, to show heroes, where everybody has these wonderful abilities, but all of them are used in darkness and dark...
Well, they're also using them for their own self-survival.
Right.
Because I enjoy the show Heroes.
I love it. Yeah, I'm not knocking the show at all.
Always the struggle of light and dark. And these are powers that we have. When you understand divine principle and that all you have to do is allow it to happen, allow the healing, allow the growth of intelligence, allow the telepathic communication. We have been told since we were kids that we cannot do these things, and that is a lie. We can do these things, and there are a few of us who can do them very well, and all of us with focused intent to create those abilities, to allow them to express through our bodies, we can too.
Yes.
And that is part of being the firstborn son. That the human body was the first basically temple to house God when the material realm was created so very long ago. And to choose to experience individuality away from source, all of these powers were given to us. And we've got them. They're just innate. Or they're just inactive right now.
All right. Junk DNA.
Junk DNA. And you can use thought and intentional creation to rewire your DNA. It is that's the work of Greg Braden and his book The God Code. And how if you wash your body in fear for years, you will have a fear charge showing up on your DNA, and you will always return to that fear. But if you resonate in love and ecstasy and happiness and compassion and joy, that your body will resonate and rewire your DNA at different points and reestablish many of the abilities that were engineered away from us many thousands of years ago. That's going to be the best way to reach the at-one-ment.
You think maybe running around and giving warm hugs to strangers on the street might start to Hundred's Monkey kicking?
I do it every day.
Do you?
Oh, you bet.
Nice.
You bet. I mean, hugs are great. And then those people can feel that genuineness. They can feel that openness. They can feel that. And you leave everybody with a smile.
Yes.
After encountering you, whether it's the checker at Walmart, the person you pass in the aisle, give them a smile and see that smile return. See that reflection back. And in that way, you present God to the world. You present that happiness. And there's just no better way to go through life.
Well, hear. Well, Scott, I had no idea where we were going to go with this talk, and I'm really glad the direction that we did go.
Well, you know, because you can discuss, you know, weapons and weather manipulation, but that leaves us feeling like victims.
Yes.
And I don't want, you know, it's going to happen whether you feel victimized or not. So it's better to not let them get in you at your heart center and turn it off as well.
Yes.
Now, it's about empowering people so we can see the change, so we can be the change that needs to happen, so that our children's future is brighter than our past.
We can do it.
I know we can do it. And indeed, it's already done. We just have to do the work to get there.
Right.
Yeah, that's part of quantum mechanics and the realities. If you know it's done, it is done. And it's just a matter of allowing it to manifest. So there's a great book called The Handbook for the New Paradigm by George Green.
Well, that was the Bilderberger I was referring to.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Very good.
I met George here in Austin, and he thought I was a Palladian.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Actually, that's how I ended up on TV. I was at that lecture with George Green, and he was talking about the Palladians and Billy Meyer, and I ended up meeting George Humphrey there, and I started spewing out some of my conspiracy theories, and I was kind of playing it as if I were a Palladian, because really, I'm not too sure. And George was like, hey, you know, you really need to get a TV show. And he brought me down here and set me up, got paid for it and everything.
Very nice.
So, anyway.
Very nice. No, it's a...
The Handbook for the New Paradigm.
It's a great scientific look at what's going on. And then the truly spiritual complement to that work is a 6-volume book by Baird T. Spaulding called Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East.
Right.
And it is phenomenal work, absolutely phenomenal. An expedition goes to Nepal and into the Gobi Desert and India, and they talk with masters who, using their incredible knowledge, you know, heal and teleport and just all of these things which are Christ abilities, and you're taught how to come into that vibration, how to achieve that atonement with the One. Just some wonderful work at it. It complements George Green's Handbook for the New Paradigm just exceptionally well. You know, right-hand glove, left-hand glove, they work together.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Amazon carries it. So, yeah.
What was it called again?
The Masters of the Far East. One of the best sets of material I've read in a long time.
Nice.
So.
Well, thank you, Scott. This
My
has been a wonderful program, and I'm so happy that you came to spread this message, because it's so critical at this point.
It is. As this age draws to a close.
It is.
They want us ignorant, and we just cannot let them have their way.
Can't. Out with the old, in with the new.
Truly. Turn the page.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. I'll be looking for you out there for a hug when I come up there. I'm in Colorado all the time, so.
Just say, hey, I'm Freeman, and I'll know who it is.
Yes. I'm glad you're out there. I'm glad that this is going on, and I'm glad that you lost your job so that you could do this.
Well, you know, I am too. It's given me the freedom to go storm chasing.
Yeah.
I did storm chasing in the high plains, and we got our magnetic field measurements underneath thunderstorms, something that had never been done before. And that verifies that we've got EM fields, electromagnetic fields, at work in thunderstorms, especially rotating thunderstorms. And that science paper will be published in the first quarter of next year. And it's groundbreaking, because it opens a whole other avenue for our weather forecasters in understanding what's the processes that are at work in the atmosphere.
We'll have to talk about that next time, because I would love to talk more about that and Isaac Bonowitz's electromagnetic machine and a number of other things. So we'll have to do this again.
We will. Thanks, Freeman.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I'll be sending you a copy of the show, and it'll be up on Google, so.
Look forward to seeing it.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye. Wow, I had no idea that talk was going to go where it went, and I am very happy, very pleased that this is exactly what's occurring, because this is the solution. This is the place that we're going to need to go to try and find our answers in the universe. We're not going to be able to seek answers and have Big Brother come and save us, and we're not going to be able to do any of these types of save until we in ourselves experience true joy and freedom and the liberty that comes with free will.